AI is being seen today as a productivity tool, and it's barely starting to be seen as also a medical support tool.
Welcome to the Veterinary Financial Podcast, where we discuss financial freedom and whole life success. I'm Meredith Jones, a veterinarian and financial planner.
And I'm Wooly Bidot, a lab animal specialist and a money nerd.
This episode is sponsored by Care Credit, the popular third-party payment provider. They are also supporters of the Veterinary Financial Summit. Visit carecredit.com to learn more. Our guest today is Sebastian Gabor. He is the co-founder of Digitail, a practice management software with AI capabilities. Sebastian, welcome to the show.
Hi, everyone. Great to be here.
So, Sebastian, what can AI offer veterinary medicine?
Oh, that's such a big question. But to begin with, let's think about technology in general, because technology is there to help create efficiencies. And when you think about practices and the need for creating more efficiencies, that's definitely the right path. However, the problem when we operate with computers is that you have an input problem and an output problem. What this means is that how fast can you get information into computers and how fast you can get information out of the computers. And currently, we're limited to the speed that we can type at and the speed that we can read things at. However, AI changes drastically the way we interact with computers, because right now, especially for a veterinarian, you no longer need to type your soap. You can dictate it. Actually, you can, as you're doing the visit, it captures the entire conversation and it creates the soap for you at the end. So now the input problem is drastically changing because you no longer need to type 8 minutes. It captures everything automatically. Then when you think about output, you currently need to read through a lot of scrolls of information to get the information that you need from the systems. And suddenly AI changes that paradigm also because you no longer need to read to understand where you need to find the information, but the AI can summarize everything for you. So something that would have been before 4 minutes of scrolling can become 30 seconds of reading. And this is where AI changes completely the paradigm of how we interact with computers. And that's why we started talking a lot about AI-based workflows, because you're changing how you're currently using technology in your practice or in your day-to-day work life, and you're creating new ways of being more efficient. So that's why you're going to see that we're really, really excited about what's happening.
So we're talking about artificial intelligence. I do have a question about the input, because I think there's different systems and programs where you can put data in and you receive a response. Mm-hmm. But does Digitail learn from your habits or your different inputs that you submit?
The short answer is yes. The vision of the future is that most likely everyone will have a mini AI assistant that will learn the way you want to do things and will adapt to that. So right now with Tails, which is our AI assistant built directly in the practice management system, Tails listens to your needs, answers to your needs, but then also whenever, let's say, you have a new patient with the same diagnosis, it's going to look back through the records of how what you've done in the past and adapt to that. And the great part of that is it's not a general AI assistant that learns from the industry, because the challenge with that is that you might get ER responses and you're actually focusing on GP. So by this, the fact that it learns from you, it learns how you love to practice medicine, and then it supports you in that process. So yes, the short answer is it adapts and learns based on how you want to practice medicine.
And Digitail recently did a survey asking veterinary professionals how they use AI. And the most common responses were, at least for when you ask, you know, for what application it's being used currently, it was imaging and radiology. Again, I don't practice much nowadays, but I do know that there's programs that you can submit a radiograph and, you know, it would pretty much tell you what the pattern is and whatnot. And also you had record keeping and administrative tasks. So I wanted to focus on that one because administrative tasks is broad, but I imagine there's so much applications where AI can help with a lot of admin stuff. So how can AI help with record keeping and the administrative part?
Absolutely. So to start answering your question, is definitely AI is being seen today as a productivity tool, and it's barely starting to be seen as also a medical support tool. But going back to the study, to give a bit of like better perspective on why we've done it, is that as we've seen AI coming more and more in vet med, we started seeing a lot of misconceptions about how AI is being used, where it's actually helpful, can I use it for drug calculations, should I use it for client communication, like where is it actually impactful in your day-to-day. And the reason why we started collaboration with AHA and asked 4,000 veterinarian professionals about, again, if they use AI, how do they use it, what do they learn from it, Are they optimistic? So we asked as many questions as possible to start shaping how AI can actually be a tool to help people in practice. And the results were actually unexpected, because when you think about veterinarians and the fact that 65% of animal hospitals still use on-premise systems that are there since 30 years ago, you don't really expect high adoption of technology or anything like that. But surprisingly, and actually shockingly, the adoption curve of AI in vet med resembles the same pattern of computer programmers adopting AI. So right now, 80% of the respondents said that they're familiar with AI and applications of AI, and 30% out of the total respondents, so close to 1,000 plus respondents, are using it on a daily and weekly basis in practice today, which again is highly, highly impressive to see this adoption curve in the space. Now, going back to your question, yes, the most common occurrences were definitely the radiology. And because also if you look at the space for the past years, this has been the most developed, or let's say the first use case that has been piloted with machine learning. Again, we're talking about the AI umbrella, but that's more on the machine learning. The rest of the applications now are under the LLM, so large language model, more the natural language processing and conversational AI. And this is where you start seeing now the record keeping and all the other applications. So going back to how AI is helpful is that it's becoming a productivity tool. Maybe even more than the study. For this one, I can share what we've done at Digitail, because 12 months ago when we first heard about AI, and you wouldn't expect this from your entrepreneurial person like me, but I was skeptical. I have to say, when I heard first, I thought, okay, this is going to be a hype. People are talking about it. There's a lot of money investment, but actually doesn't do anything. That was my initial first thought. And then for 4 weeks, we had a colleague in the team. He's our AI lead now. He's, again, interested person. He's reading all the time. And he came in and was saying, guys, you need to stop and you need to pay attention to this. And guess what we did? We didn't pay attention. We ignored it as much as possible because we were busy in our day-to-day. So we did that for 1 week. We did that for the second week. Thanks God he didn't stop. The fourth week, we said, okay, we're going to listen. And we allocated 15 minutes. He started describing it. And then our reaction was like, why didn't you show it to us like sooner? Because it literally was helping everyone from, so again, thinking of us as a company, we have our marketing, sales, onboarding, customer success, and everyone else. So we found applications across the entire company and in each department. And then the natural progression was to start understanding how can we get this in the hands of veterinarians. And we implemented Tails, which is the first AI assistant, and we started working with a group of 10 hospitals to see how they use it in their day-to-day and start shaping it to be helpful. So we broke down the entire patient journey from the moment a pet parent receives a reminder and starts thinking about the next visit, checking in, getting to the visit, all the process that happens in the practice during the visit, and on everything post-visit. So we broke it down into steps, and we started seeing where it's helpful and where it's not helpful today. And that's why we had the three biggest use cases that are by far the most powerful ones, which is the input of data, which is record keeping, where today veterinarians no longer need to type. They can literally let a microphone run in the background. It captures the entire discussion and you get SOAP summary format that you can then click and send the discharge notes to the client at the end, and it's done. Where you also have the concept of now voice to invoice, that it captures everything that needs to go in the treatment plan and an invoice. So again, it's drastically improving the record keeping. And most vets that we talk with, even the vets that are using now Tails, they're saying 8 minutes plus of time saved per soap, where you literally finish soaps on time and you no longer need to worry about this at the end of the day. And I know this has been the holy grail that all PIMS have been talking about for ages, but it's still not there. Today, it is actually there. The number of messages that we got from existing users saying that no more stress at the end of the day was, for us, again, it put a smile on our faces because it meant all the efforts that we're doing day to day, they're actually having a positive impact. So this was one. The second one is patient intake. So think about, so after they confirm the appointment, when they come to the visit, 3 days before the visit, they can start the check-in process on the pet parent app. And Tails, the AI assistant, will ask all the information for the visit based on the history of the pet and then the reason for the visit. And it's able also to triage at the same time. And at the end of the conversation, it gets a summary in the SOAP directly for the vet and the staff to see when the pet parent comes in for the visit. So all the 5 to 10 minutes that you would spend at the beginning of the visit asking all the questions of what happened at home, all of those would be already answered. And even more, if it's an annual visit, Tails can actually start educating the pet parent beforehand of the importance of doing certain lab tests and why those would be helpful for their pet. So that's all on the patient intake. That, again, saves time, helps with client education. And the third aspect is general assistant, where the general assistant means that you have access to an AI assistant that you can ask questions or give them tasks, such as write a draft of an email that can convince this client to pay their outstanding balance. And it can draft a super nice email, polite, or if you want to rephrase it, like, yes, definitely give it a bit more convincing here. Or if you need to translate it in a different language, maybe you need in Spanish or Portuguese, you can just let it ask for the translation and you can then send it to the client. Or if you need, again, any spawning trends in history, just getting a summary of all the records that are there. So all of this, the AI system can do for you. And it saves, again, so much time on all record keeping and solves that problem of input and also of output.
Awesome.
Wow. Yeah, it can do so much. I mean, it's great to see, you know, that so many practices are already adopting, you know, and mm-hmm. using AI. And now, do you think, because I was looking at demographics and I was looking at age groups and I mm-hmm. saw that there were lots of younger folks who, like under 30 was the biggest group of mm-hmm. folks who responded to the survey. And then I also noticed that about half of them were either vets or vet techs, and about half of them were other positions in the hospital or even students. Mm-hmm. And so what are your thoughts with the demographics? Like, do you think the study appealed more and got more responses from people who were more likely to use AI or not necessarily?
Yes and no. So one thing that we've noticed when it comes to age groups first is that if you look at the youngest demographics, the youngest category in the study, they were actually the most skeptical one when it comes to AI technology. So this means that based on the responses that we actually ended up also reaching out to the people that are not necessarily the AI fans, it's also the people that didn't hear about it or they tried and maybe they're still skeptical. And it's really good to have skeptical people because with any new technology that comes into a market, you can't just blindly use it and mass adopt it everywhere. You actually need people that ask the right questions so that you can start shaping it in the right way. And if you looked also at one of the questions around like what are the risks or what are the challenges of AI, definitely 60% of the responses did claim that accuracy and hallucinations are a problem, which indeed it is the biggest challenge when it comes to AI, because you might get 90% of answers perfect and then suddenly AI goes crazy and you get a really chaotic, like, what are you talking about here? But despite that skepticism and being aware of the pitfalls of AI, people use it in spite of that. So they know the pitfalls and they go around them. And this is probably one of the parts where I'm on the optimistic side for this one, is that when AI gets the answer wrong, it's truly wrong. So when you think about math, like, okay, 2 + 2 = 4, let's say you get it a bit wrong, you would say 4, 1, but AI would answer with 562. Like, it gets it on a totally different scale of wrongness, which helps you understand that, okay, I need to regenerate the answer and ask again, and that will get you to the right answer. And again, this is for those 1 or 2% of the cases, because the risk of hallucinations is going down drastically. And this is where companies like ours and all the other great AI companies in the space are working day to day to reduce that level of hallucinations. And the more technology gets better, it's more ready for all the use cases. And then the second one, I think another concern about this one was job replacement. If you've seen, that was lower in the list, but it was still there. And I understand it's scary, but the reality is that we really believe that AI won't replace anyone, but someone using AI will, because now you can do 2 times more. You can, you know, ask the AI to write a message or an email on your behalf while you can go and do something else. So to answer your question in a short form, I would say that most likely we did cover more. So again, we worked in collaboration with AHA for this. So we capture part of their audience, part of our audience. And you might argue that, again, some of the audiences might be a bit more biased towards online, more technology driven. But even given that we did have answers that are also skeptical, that also seen the downside and know how to decide, you know, rationally, okay, I know this is maybe not perfect, but I can use it for these use cases. It makes us believe that, again, we have enough balance in the study to be able to have an accurate perception of what's in the market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. And I love how you were talking about, hey, this is something where you could just do your job as a veterinarian and not have records to write up at the end of the appointment or at the end of the day. Because, I mean, it's one of the big stressors of being a veterinarian. I mean, for me, it was a huge stressor of like, okay, you know, I'm going to see 20 cases today on emergency mm-hmm. and I've got to spend all this time afterward writing them up, you know, and some of them were really complicated cases because I worked in a specialty hospital. So definitely a big deal. And then The other thing, now that I'm working as a financial planner for veterinarians, I actually just this past weekend started testing an AI tool that is for financial planners specifically. And so it's been a game changer. Like, I just got access to it on Friday. I took my records from earlier in the week that I hadn't had a chance to actually type out the notes. I took notes by hand during the meeting, and I was able to catch up on so many records in such a short time frame just by reading the notes that I already had from earlier in the week. And then moving forward, I've been able to just turn it on during meetings, and my clients know that it's on, and it just transcribes and it's compliant and everything else. And it's also cool because there are all these AI tools out there now for note-taking that are specific for certain professions. And I think there's a lot of merit to that, you know, of being able to write in a certain format for a specific profession like the veterinary profession.
Absolutely, because that output is definitely important. So what would be the task that you'd love to have automated? If AI would have the power to do everything for you, what would be the task that you'd like it to, you know, delegate and help me out with this one?
Oh, I'm going to let Willie take that one first.
Oh, I already know emails. There's so many emails that if I have a queue that I could say two words and it writes it for me, same emails constantly. And I wish I would take the time to write a template, whatnot, but yeah, I run a nonprofit, and that's usually where I see myself writing the same emails. People that want to sponsor, people that want to volunteer and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And it's just me responding to an email and writing it on the go. And it takes time, you know, you don't realize it, but it's like, hey, every 5 minutes you do that 10 times a day, you could have probably done it in 2 minutes, the whole thing. So yeah.
Go for it.
Oh, yeah. And I was just going to say, yeah, for veterinarians, I mean, definitely like discharge instructions, like all the time that I spent writing discharge instructions for emergency cases over the years, like that would be the thing that I would want automated for me, for sure.
Amazing. I might have some good news for you. But no, realistically, there are so many solutions out there now specifically dedicated for vet med that actually help you with even the use cases that you've mentioned. That it's just a matter of trying any of them out and you will start getting the benefit of that. Because if you look at evolution of technology in any given industry, is of course, templates would be a solution for both the use cases that you mentioned, but that has its own challenges because, okay, you do templates, but then they become less personalized. Maybe it doesn't cover everything you want. It's better than typing everything from the beginning. Like, don't get me wrong. It's definitely a massive step forward, but it's not personalized. And now with AI technology, you actually get it personalized for each case. And again, this technology is available today, and it's actually one of the core strengths of LLMs and AI in general.
So we're talking about a lot of great applications, but let's go back. You know, there's people that are skeptical. I have used AI tools before. Again, I feel like I can use it more, but I'm always worried about the reliability and accuracy of that output that I get. So, you know, what are the issues with the reliability and accuracy of the AI systems?
I think the best way to see this is to actually encourage people to try it on their own, because right now the level of error is to a such small extent. Like, in other words, it gets so many things right so many times that it's worth using the technology. But realistically, what happens is that AI is based on probability, right? So what's the most likely next word that needs to come in the sentence that will make sense for this case? So that's how AI thinks. So what's the most likely next word? And as long as it's trained on the right data and the prompt is done in the right way. And the third one, which this is the part that every company is influencing, it has enough guardrails, the number of error cases decreases. And the first two, again, there's enough data that had great training on to be able to do that. And with the guardrails, this was something that for the past 12 months, since this technology started, most companies have been using and have been developing this to reduce the error rate. Well, now, again, it's at the point where as of today, there's, again, hundreds of practices already using this technology on a day-to-day basis, like our technology now. But there's so many other tools out there that are being used on a day-to-day basis where you could have enough confidence that you'll get enough value from this to use it. And the best case is that whenever there's an error, what's important is to be aware that this might happen and to check what's there. So the worst thing that could happen today is for people to start using it blindly and copy-paste directly the answer without checking. So it's definitely a technology that's not for that. It's still important for anyone that's using AI-based technologies to check the output and then use it.
So I'm going to take advantage, since we have you in the podcast, For me, the only tool that I know of that is an AI tool that I use is ChatGPT. Mm-hmm. So if you want me to get an introduction to AI, what other applications would you recommend me looking at?
So first, with OpenAI, so OpenAI is the company that built ChatGPT, which is the widely known about app in this space. There are others, and each one has their strengths, right? So OpenAI has its strengths in natural language and communicating and understanding, and also even in the medical space, it has more data that it was trained on. But you also have other apps such as Claude from Anthropic. This is another one. Currently, it has a twice as large context memory, and I'll describe this in a second. But you have also Google, which is 10 times more. So Google, again, it has more memory context. It's not as refined as the other ones. So there are more and more apps coming out there, each one with its own strengths. But what I would say is that for someone that just wants to try this technology, again, if you don't want to go straightly for AI-specific use cases, just go on ChatGPT on OpenAI website. You can try the free account and just give it tasks. Give it tasks, anything from write me an email for this client or tell me what do you think about this use case. So anything like that. The two things that I will want to say here is, one, for the people that love the dictation part, try the app. So the ChatGPT app that you can download from the App Store. It's a great way to also start using this technology from your phone to see the different ways of how you can interact with it. Me personally, I switch from using Google Search to this one on the phone because it's a lot easier and quicker to ask it to search for something rather than typing the entire conversation. So that's, again, a different use case. And the second one, be mindful that when it comes to AI tools, there's the question of using your data to train the AI tool. And I think this is a part where, going back to the study, I was really happy to see that 50% of the respondents were concerned about how data is being used. And I would love for the same situation to be applicable for PIMS in general, like for people to start asking, how is the data secure in practice management system? But that's a story for another time. But happy that this is happening already in the AI space and people are concerned and asking about this. Because what happens is that if you go for the free account in any of these tools, you're actually paying with your data because they're using your data to train the model. Mm-hmm. So again, try it out for things that the data is not important. But if you actually want to start using it for patients' data or other things like this, make sure that you upgrade for the paid version where they don't use the data for training.
Awesome. Sorry I deviated, but I just wanted to know.
It was a really good question.
Yeah, and that's something that we had come across too with financial planning, because of course we're dealing with a lot of personal data. And so then you have to find something that is compliant, that is really just, you know, using AI but transcribing versus actually recording and then using the data. And some of them even are selling the data to advertisers and things like that. So looking at the privacy policy is another component of that. And so since it's the Veterinary Financial Podcast, how can we use AI to help with practice finances?
I was ready for this one, but I would break it down into two topics. One is indirect benefits and direct benefits. And for the indirect ones, I would think of staff well-being and retention. So what this means on this part is that what it would mean for your staff to be able to give them not only that 8 minutes per visit back to their day-to-day life, but also the peace of mind that when they go out of the practice, they can actually leave the worries behind of, oh, did I finish that? Did I not finish that? Or similar to what you just mentioned, where you had 3 days of records that still you had to go through. Like all of that, you're giving back to your team so they can not be worried about that and maybe worry about other things, or they can use that time back for in every way they want. And again, you can talk about maybe you create space for seeing more patients or maybe just peace of mind to relax at the end of the day. So that's up for each hospital afterwards on how they want to leverage this, but it's important that that time is given back. And on the same topic, it's also about use of resources, as in you wouldn't want necessarily your vet techs or your staff to be the ones transcribing things. There's so much more that they can do with that time to help you rather than doing the mechanical things that are not so fulfilling. And this, again, you outsource to AI to base technologies, the part that are unfulfilling, so that then you can focus on the things you want. So this would be one. The second one would be predictive analytics. And you've already started mentioning about this specific use case of, again, using AI to start gathering data and using it as a basic counterpart to start debating about what can be done, what have you seen. So that predictive analytics, what it does is, as long as you feed it all the information, it can start process and it can start giving you a hint of where can you optimize resources, maybe gaps in the scheduler, maybe historic challenges with the stock. So all of that information, it's able to interpret and give you a response on suggestions of what can be done. But these are all indirect. And if you switch to direct impact, one would be definitely the increase in compliance when it comes to pet parents. So personalization of reminders, personalization of the intake process. So when the pet parent goes through the intake process, they also see personalized education content for the visit, for what's the best practice to do for their pet at that age in those conditions. And all of this would be, again, approved by you. And you would have basically more time to focus on other conversations when they come in the practice. And again, education in general. So increased compliance would be one. The second one would be new revenue streams. And this is especially for telehealth. So for any practice that wants to start offering telehealth services, this reduces significantly the barriers to start offering this. And think about, again, just having the telehealth consultation, leaving the microphone on to record the entire conversation, and you would get summary, next steps, visit. Once you click end to the call, you need to click one more send, and you've finished the entire visit. So it reduces drastically the barriers to start offering this and all the complexity around offering the service. And the last one would be, with direct impact, would be definitely marketing. So finding opportunities within the customer base, and then personalization of materials, where again, this increases the experience of the pet parents, and then brand awareness and pet patient relationship improving. So those would be like the bigger direct impacts of AI from a financial perspective.
All right, awesome.
So we're vets. We like to talk about our cases. Do you have a case study you can share from a clinic that incorporated AI and how it helped them?
Absolutely. We start first with the dictation. So with the dictation, immediately after we launched it, we started getting messages that, hey, we're now able to stop the service that we had with the Stripe company that we had, and now we can focus on practicing medicine the way we want to. Then we had the other clients that, in general, everyone, again, is going back to that 8 minutes per visit that they're saving. It depends a lot, again, if you're a fast typer, if you're using templates, if you're a slow typer, if someone else types, but that's roughly the use cases that we've seen. And then also with this one was for some of the vets that we have, again, they talked about ambiental record keeping, which means that during the visit, again, you leave the microphone on in the background and you don't worry about it. So 1 week in, I got a message on iMessage afterwards from the doctor saying that this was the best release ever. And I got home on time and I literally didn't have to worry. So that was like paraphrasing the message. And again, it sounds like too good to be true sometimes. And I realized it just saying that, but just watching the use cases and the fact that it's happening now in the market, it was rewarding to see that's the case. And then I would say with the AI assistant, the best use case that we've seen is, especially when you have a larger client base with patients with a lot of history. Again, one vet reached out and said, thank you, I no longer need to scroll and go through history to see what's happening. Because they got into the habit of asking before the visit all the time, asking Tails, the assistant, give me what I need to know about this case. And it goes through the entire history. It goes through the PDFs that you have uploaded and it gives you a short, concise answer of what's there. And for the AI intake, that was with another clinic. So, and this clinic is really good. So they also use the app for pet parents and they have close to 80% adoption rate from all their clients. But again, they're really good at taking their clients through a digital workflow. And he basically told us that after we launched this, he didn't start promoting it, but pet parents just directly discovered it in the app. And he started seeing all the summaries of why people are coming directly in the soap. And he basically didn't have to then ask all those questions. And he was like, wow, clients just adopted it on their own without needing to like actively promote or actively do anything. So those would be like the top three use cases that we're really proud of at the moment.
Those are great.
Wow, this is awesome. So for me, the big takeaway from this is, okay, AI is here now, and there's a ton that we can actually do with it to help us in our practices and help us save a ton of time, you know, whether it's saving time so you can be more efficient and see more patients, or whether it's being more efficient so that you can go home and enjoy your time off more, you know? Sebastian, thanks so much for sharing your insights and your expertise. And what's the best way for our colleagues to get in touch with you?
Absolutely. Best way would be definitely LinkedIn or email directly, sebastian@digital.io, or just book a demo if you want to hear more about Tails and AI technology right now directly from our website, digital.com. And of course, as always, follow us on social media to see all the latest that are happening and part of our webinar series on AI, where we try to not talk about only of the optimistic and what's great about AI, but also going more into depth into what are the challenges and seeing what's, again, downsides and what are the difficult questions that we need to ask when it comes to AI.
Mm-hmm. All right. Awesome. And so, Sebastian, that brings us to our last question. What is your best advice for our listeners?
I think this goes back to what Willy and you were mentioning also, that technology is here, but it's so easy to adopt it. Just go on chat.openai.com, create a free account and start asking questions and see the power of AI today. It's actually impressive. And sometimes it feels that we're so lucky to live in these times when we're at a pinnacle moment where on one side, we have the responsibility to shape this technology for the better. And the future can look totally different if we all work together and put our brains to making this the right technology for us. And also the power that we can now focus on the things we love. So in a nutshell, go to any AI tool out there, try it out, and I'll promise you won't regret it.
All right, Sebastian, thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely, it was my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
If you liked this episode, click the follow or subscribe button. Until next time, take care and continue your path to financial success.
The information provided in this podcast is for informational purposes only. It should not be considered legal or financial advice. Consult with a legal or financial professional before making any investment decisions.